Now, this text declares the status of the Christian in the world. And it tells us right here in this verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith it shall be salted, it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. Now, this brings us to the application of the salt. The status of the Christian in the world, ye are the salt of the earth. And it has to be applied and rubbed in. And that, of course, means that we're not going to the Kiev or a commune or a community outside the world. We're going to be living in the world.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. It's a great privilege to bring you the Lord's Word day by day, and I trust that if you are listening in daily, that God is ministering to you. If this is perhaps your first time to hear the message, well, let the Lord speak and let His Word work graciously within your heart. Today's message is part two on Ye Are the Salt of the Earth. And this is an amazing thing that God puts this life in us that we might be the answer to the corruption that is in the world. Now, when you look at the ungodliness, the vices, the drug world, the gang world, the prostitution world, the perversion of sexuality, and all the evils that are in our society, there never was a time when we more need the salt of God's grace to be at work in the hearts of men and women. And God works through His people. God works through giving men and women convictions, giving them truth, giving them a zeal for the Lord's glory, and that we work in this world to bring men out of that cesspool of iniquity and to live godly and righteously. Righteousness is really the big topic of the Bible. The gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God. And Paul introduces his gospel as the gospel of righteousness. Peter does the exact same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1. And without righteousness, there is no benchmark. There is no understanding of what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is not good. And so we need the light of God. And the Lord has given this to His people. So I want to read to you just a few of these Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. This is the ministry of the Lord Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount. And he has just given a list of eight blesseds, eight beatitudes. And the very last one is concerning our service in the world in persecution. So this is Matthew 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. And so these are the words of the Savior, and He's speaking to His people. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, it's so important to maintain the purity. It's so important to maintain the standard. If the Christian lives like the ungodly, talks like the ungodly, and follows in the philosophies of the world, he's going to be corrupted. And then our witness is useless. And the same in the church. This is why we insist on purity within the church. We can't allow the church to be lowered to the standard of the world. And in some circles, the pressure is on. You've got to reach the world. You've got to evangelize by using either the methods or just adopting their ways. No, the Christian has told us to be separate from the world. Touch not the unclean thing, we are told, and to serve God with a mission of purity that is backed up with a lifestyle of purity. Now, we'll come to all of these things in the message today, and I hope that you'll stay tuned, stay listening, and that God will have a word for your own heart as we move now to the pulpit ministry of our church here in Cloverdale.
That's all evolution has ever asked for, is more time. That's why they can never decide on how many billions of years it was since the Big Bang. They need more time. And of course, they are what they call uniformitarianists. They feel, well, as it happened then and how things have, it's just going to, that trajectory will keep going on. But the Bible tells us that time's going to run out and this world is going to be judged. Christ will come, and he will come to a world that is rebellious, that is lost, and as it was in the days of Noah. Now, sometimes we wrestle to understand, is that the suddenness factor or is that the corruption factor? And maybe it's both. That when the Lord returns, he's going to come to a very corrupt world, but he's going to come suddenly, just as that flood came upon the world and destroyed it. Now, this text declares the status of the Christian in the world. And it tells us right here in this verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith it shall be salted, it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. Now, this brings us to the application of the salt. The status of the Christian in the world, ye are the salt of the earth. And it has to be applied and rubbed in. And that, of course, means that we're not going to the Kiev or a commune or a community outside the world. We're going to be living in the world. And my function and your function is to strive by the power of God to make this world a godly place and a holy place, living according to righteousness. And it's out of a pure heart. And all of these beatitudes will play into this. Because it means blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You can't be a salty Christian if you don't love righteousness. You can't be a salty Christian if you're not pure in heart. Otherwise, you're just a Pharisee with an outward sham calling for holiness when inside you is nothing but corruption. But when you're born again and you get a new heart and you've got a new nature and a new desire for God, then your work is to be salt in the earth. And the Christian is to be, therefore, a savor of God, a savor of Christ, a savor of truth and righteousness within this world. And of course, the Lord rebuked the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. This Sermon of the Mount, he did that. And he did it over and over again through his ministry. If there's anything that really irked the Lord, it was hypocrisy. And we've got to be a people who have a genuine goal with a genuine motive and a purity that backs up our endeavors to change this world for Christ. How do you do that? Well, I picked up on a word that I think it's akin to being salt, and it's the word savor. And as we know, salt does savor food. And there are foods in this world, and they're tremendous. They're great food, but always so much better with salt. And our lives will be so much better when we are savory and savoring those things around us. Now, that word savor is what I picked up. I want to take it to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And there are depths here. There are truths here that really will be beyond us tonight. But I think that it will get us on praying ground at least and saying, Lord, make me to be a savor unto God. And you'll notice that it's a note of thanksgiving that the apostle begins with here, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God. And then it's a note of triumph, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. So there's a Christian. And our strength and our power and our joy and our ministry and our everything really comes from Christ, just as a branch in the vine. Our whole life is now as a Christian, drawing our graces from the Lord. What's the result of that? Verse 14. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. My, there's a sermon outline right there. And there you have this grace, this triumph of Christ made manifest or made known, the savor of his knowledge. And so it has to do with truth, the savor of his knowledge. The Christian is always engaged in truth. This is not so abstract and so blank page. It is really the revelation of God, the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of the gospel by us. And here's the mercy of it. God takes you and me, Christians, to be the salt and the savor in every place. Now apply that in the church. It should start right here tonight. And your witness and your singing and your praying and your godly living should bring into the church a very savor, your very witness, your testimony, your countenance, your joyfulness, your spirit of thankfulness. All of that is going to make more and add to the whole worship of the church unto the Lord. And then in your home, if this is a genuine work in your heart, it's not going to die when you go out the church door. It will happen in your home. You will be that person with the victory of Christ in your life. Doesn't mean you're going to solve every problem in the world. Doesn't mean you're going to be liked by everybody. But it will mean that you will be God's instrument to savor, bringing the knowledge, bringing the truth, bringing the gospel to the hearts of men around you. And when you go to work tomorrow in the workplace, you will be that savor, that salt of the Lord. What a blessing. What a wonderful blessing. Now, the next passage where this comes up, this savor, is Ephesians. Did I finish that? Let me see. No, there's another savor. Verse 15 and 16. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. There's worship. In them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And so there will be those who will see the countenance of Christ and the witness of Christ and the joy of the Lord, and they'll reject it, and that'll be a ministry of death to them. But others will receive it and rejoice in it, and that will be a ministry of life. This savor, this saltiness, this agency of representing the Lord and his gospel wherever we go. And then Ephesians 5:2 and a few other verses. We are told here in Ephesians 5:2, walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, we're to be like Christ. We're to be, to some degree, we'll never reach that standard of our Lord, but to some degree and in some measure, there will be this walk of love as Christ also loved us. Now let me ask you, are you a loving person? Or are you full of bitterness? Are you a sourpuss? Are you a killjoy? Is your whole life a demonstration of human misery? That's what's happening in the world. I look on at the Muslim world and the Islam affairs of this world, and I can only think of the dreadful, abject misery that's going on. Syria under a civil war for 5 years. The millions of people that are displaced. Thousands that are dead, bereavement, sorrow, hunger, thirst, no future. People are willing to sail on rickety boats across the Mediterranean at the risk of their lives because they're hopeless. There's a hopelessness behind it all. It's misery. That's the non-Christian. But the Christian is to be marked here as one walking in love. That's the gospel. That's what Christ does for his people, because we're following his example here. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And that's the language of the Old Testament and sacrifices. Do you remember how they burnt the fat and the fire went up and the smoke went up? And that was in God's nostrils a sweet-smelling savor. That's what the death and life of Christ was to the Father. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, do we have that? Are we that savoring, salting, complimentary people that we're adding glory and worship and honor to the Lord? Then verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Now, I don't want to mix our metaphors, because the next verse, the Lord says, "Ye are the light of the world." But it's right here. The very same emphasis is here. And then on down to verse 13, proving, verse 10 now, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And salt does that. There's salt at work, reproving. And that's what's going to happen when you go out into the world with a Christ-like attitude and witness. The sin around you, the corruption of the world, you will be a reprover of those things. Reprove them, and are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so there we see this work of the Christian: salting, preserving, reproving, endeavoring to purify. You can't be a part of the corruption of the world. In fact, you want to be an answer to it. Indeed, it was impossible for men to sin publicly in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Think about that. That's why people who were sinners felt so convicted in his presence. The Pharisees, the scribes, the ungodly. Such was the holy aura of his life that I'm sure many apologized, said, "Lord, I'm sorry for offending you." Many must have said that. Have you had people in the workplace or wherever, maybe they come off with a swear word or something sinful, and then they caught themselves on, they're in the presence of a Christian. Oh, be careful, we have a Christian here. And your presence and your witness in the workplace or wherever the company is a preserving, rebuking, and a reproving ministry just by being there. Just by being there. And if you were gone, well, the jokes would fly. The curses would fly freely because you're out of that company. And you can see the more and more Christians you have in society, the purifying effect. We need Christians in the schools. We need Christians in the police. We need Christians in government. We need Christians everywhere. There's the answer for the gospel. And this is the work of evangelism. Now, I'm not to get directly involved in politics. I'm not to get directly involved in education. I am to preach the gospel, produce Christians by the grace of God. And the more Christians we have, and the more the Christians that are multiplied, we have truly a Christian society which will tend to purity and to godliness. And our problem is in society today, no matter what your political methods or your political stripes, you never have enough votes to get anyone in. There's not enough Christians to vote for them, or there's not enough salty Christians that has a burden to present that. The Lord Jesus was a constant rebuke to the evil. In John 3, verse 19, it says here that their deeds were evil, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And when the Lord Jesus stood in the midst as the light of the world, he was a constant rebuke to that evil. And so what is the Christian to do, to be a salty Christian? How can you do this? How can you be effective as salt in the earth? Well, we're called to preach the gospel. That is the answer. We've got to tell the story of the cross. We've got to tell the world about our Redeemer who died on Calvary out of infinite love for our souls. We've got to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." This is the message that's going to change the world. And there's no other message will do it. If the cross of Calvary and the death of Christ, the redeeming work of the Son of God, who left heaven's glory to come down into a corrupt world as the light of the world, as the way, the life, and the truth, if that message does not change the world is going to hell under wrath and judgment. And the work that we're about is to get this message out. And we're to expend ourselves in doing it. We're to use our everything, all our might, all our wisdom, all our talents, all our tithe, all our everything, that we might get this message to a dying world that is corrupting all around us. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God forbid that we could become ashamed, that we should become a people who are just Christians in name, but the saltiness is all gone. When we are afraid to stand up and be persecuted, and I think wisely the Lord Jesus told these who were listening in that sermon that they're the salt of the earth. It came after the message on persecution. If you're not willing to be persecuted for Christ, and if you're ashamed of the very gospel that we're sent to preach, how shall we be a salt in the earth? The final part of this, and I'm fighting time here again, of course, but the final part of this is, how do we keep ourselves from losing our saltiness? There are things that we must never do. We could lose our saltiness by agreeing with the world. We're called to repent of it. We're called to see its lostness and renounce it. And then there's always a tendency for Christians to assimilate with the world, get as close as possible. Reminds me of a story of Dr. Paisley that he said, preached very often. He talked about this little boy, said to his mom, why do I keep falling out of bed? And his mom said, well, if you wouldn't lie so near the edge, you wouldn't fall out. And I think this is happening to many professing Christians. And the type of modern church that we see arising, I was nearly going to say emerging, and that's the name of a type of church that's in vogue today, the emergent church. And the whole attitude is to get as close to the world as possible. In dress, appearance, attitude, casualness, don't renounce anything of the world, and try and water down the sin issue and so on. I don't say they don't preach the gospel at all. In some ways they do. In some ways they do it very effectively. But the new attitude is assimilate, not separate. And then before you know it, they are right in the world. The Bible tells me that the church is the called out ones, the ecclesia, called out of the world. And you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the God of this world and the God of glory. And as Moses in the desert, when God said, I am that I am, has visited you, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Why? To worship me. Couldn't leave them in Egypt and have them still worship God. And you know, that's what the world would suggest. Well, just stay like us. Don't have to change. You don't have to do. Go and worship your God. But don't change. But our God calls us to change and to be salt. We must not become a Lot. What a tragic life story Lot was. He chose the green pastures. He chose Sodom and Gomorrah, and he pitched his tents toward it. Now, at first, he didn't go into it, but it wasn't long until he was in it. And he got lured in by power. They had him sitting at the gates of authority with the elders of the city. And he lost his family, and really he lost his wife. Saul is another example. Terrible, tragic story of one who wanted to be like the nations. He was made a king on the premise, we want to be like the other nations. That was a failure. And Saul's whole ministry was a robbery, taking of the people. And the last example I will use is Demas. And Paul says, Demas departed having loved this present evil world. Demas. How do we stay being a salting Christian? On your knees. You pray the world out of your heart. You pray lust out of your heart. You pray money out of your heart. You pray the love of self out of your heart. And say, Lord, make me a rebuke to the world. Make me a sin hater and keep me. Keep me unto him that is able to keep me from falling. That's the challenge. And we're all in a world of temptation. We're living in enemy territory. And we need to be on guard. And we need to be kept by the power of God. And then, of course, we need the infilling of the Spirit. If becoming a Christian is the work of the Spirit, if growing as a Christian becomes the work of the Spirit, and if witnessing as a Christian is the work of the Spirit, we need more of the Spirit. Are you praying for that? Are you personally every day say, Lord, fill me today. Don't leave me to my own strength. Give me the power that you've promised to live the Christian life in an ungodly, wicked world. And God will help us and make us the people that we need to be.
Well, I trust the Lord has ministered to your heart through His Word today. And I keep saying that we talk about God's Word because what I endeavor to do is to expound the Bible. And wherever I expound the Bible, I can truly say this is God speaking. This is the Lord opening up His Word and His will for our lives. And here He is, that ye are the salt of the earth. The Lord is speaking that we are to be this. Now, you'll notice in the message today that I talked about salt reproving. And of course, that's exactly what salt is to do. It is to expose the corruption, and it is to push out the corruption. And we as Christians are commanded to reprove in this world. Even when you say no to sin, when you're invited to do something, go somewhere that is sinful, and you say, no, I'm a Christian, God would not have me do that, that's contrary to my convictions as a Bible Christian, there you are reproving. It may cause some embarrassment and expose the evil of what others are doing. And maybe in their ignorance, they may say, well, why not? What's wrong with this? And that gives you a platform to explain that that's contrary to God's law, to God's will. And before you know it, you are reproving. You are acting as salt in the earth. Now, it's impossible to sin in Christ's presence. I noted that in the message today. How can that be? The Lord Jesus carried such an influence that all in His presence were lifted up to a higher realm. And when we live in God's presence as Christians, when we live in the Word and in prayer, when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, then we will not want to sin. We will be lifted up above the powers of temptation, and God will grant us the victory to live more and more for the Lord. Well, we're almost out of time today, and we're soon going to the announcements. I trust you will be in touch with us. We look forward to hearing from you. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.